Hello, and thank you for listening to the sermon audio of West Canton Baptist Church with Pastor Jonathan Blaylock. We invite you to turn off all the distractions, grab a notebook and a pen, and open your heart to God's Word as God opens His Word to your heart.
We're in Philippians chapter 2 this morning. For a number of years, as long as I've been alive, longer, every January, we have on television what we call the State of the Union Address. It's an annual address that's delivered to both houses of Congress by the President of the United States, in which he describes the condition of the country, the way that he sees things in our nation. He outlines the nation's most serious problems, and then he typically proposes his annual program of legislation, what he intends to do in the coming year. And today, on the eve of 2018, I want to give an address to you that I'm calling the State of West Canton Address. And honestly, we could call it the State of the Union of West Canton. And we'll talk about why we would use the word union in just a few moments. My goal for us today in this passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 2 is to look at where we've been in the past year, what we've accomplished as a congregation, and then to look at where we're headed in the year 2018. What's coming down the line for us as a congregation? Many of you might remember, I won't give your memories this much credit. Let me just say that maybe a couple of you might remember that I actually preached this same text the day that this congregation first heard me preach as a congregation. It was in June of 2013 I preached this text. And largely because then, looking at the possibility of being the pastor of West Canton Baptist Church, that's all I was doing that day, is you were considering me as your pastor, and I was considering you. You didn't know that, but my wife and I took a vote that day too. You passed. But anyway, we were voting on you as a congregation as you were voting on me as a pastor. And so you passed, and we are here and have been here for about 4.5 years now. And so, but largely I preached this text that day because considering a church to pastor, this was my vision for this congregation. And so now, 4.5 years later, on December the 31st, 2017, we revisit this text and revisit what it is that God is doing at West Canton Baptist Church and what it is that God might be wanting to do at West Canton Baptist Church. So what I'll do is read this passage and then we'll come back and make a few comments on it. I want us to begin in Philippians chapter 2 in verse number 12. The Word of God says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad, and you should rejoice with me." Now, let's put this passage of Scripture in context. Paul is writing a letter to a young church in a little town called Philippi. This is to a group of people that's not a whole lot different than you or I. This is a congregation. This is a church They probably are not meeting in a building similar to ours. They're probably meeting in different homes throughout the region. And this letter is being passed from home to home, and it's being read to the people of God, to the body of Christ. And Paul's giving them some imperatives, some commands, some things to do. Simply put, these three things that we're going to look at this morning, these three imperatives, these three commands that Paul gives the church at Philippi, is to do his work, to be his light, and to hold fast to his word. We just read those three commands, and I'm going to identify those in just a moment for you. But I want to put this in a little more context. Verse number 12 begins with the word, therefore. And any good expositor of the Word of God will tell you that when you see the word therefore, you need to go and look and see what it's there for. It's there because of what Paul says in verses 1 through 11 of chapter 2. Now, I won't read the entire passage. It's one that you're very familiar with and you've heard quoted and read many, many times, I'm sure. But I do want to read verses 9 through 11. Because it's immediately on those heels that Paul gives us these commands. In verse 9, Paul says, therefore God has highly exalted him, who? Jesus. And bestowed on him, Jesus, the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What is Paul saying? Simply put, Paul's saying that Jesus is King. Jesus is King. God sent Jesus, His Son, to earth, humbled Him. Jesus, in humility, took on the form of a man. He grew, he became a 30-plus-year-old man. And then Jesus obeyed the Father to the point of going, to the point of death, even death on a cross. He was crucified in obedience to the Father, in ultimate humility. And then, because of this, God raised Jesus up, and He has highly exalted Him. And He's given Him a name that's above every other name on planet Earth. And it's the name Jesus. So that when the name Jesus is stated, every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, representing submission to His authority. The knee doesn't bow unless there is submission to the authority. And it's the authority of a king. The Bible tells us that there is coming a day when every single person, I believe, every single person that's on planet Earth at that time, every single person that is under the earth at that time, every single being, the angels included, in the heavenly places, there's coming a day when every single creature will bow its knee and will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. I believe that there is a day when Saddam Hussein will say that Jesus Christ is Lord of the heavens and earth. I believe that there's a day when Osama bin Laden will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. When Adolf Hitler will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. When I call him Little Kim in North Korea, will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Every single human being, every single ISIS black flag waving, black hood wearing terrorist will confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That day is coming. But for the Church of Jesus Christ, that day has already come. For the church, we are already bending our knee in submission to His authority, and we are confessing that He is Lord and Savior. We're already doing that. We're not waiting for the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus when the knee will be forced to bend and the tongue will confess involuntarily. We are doing that now on our own a voluntary basis. We are submitting our knee, and we are saying now that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is our King. So, because Jesus is King, let me give you three commands that Paul tells us that we are to obey. And again, this is my vision for any local church. I think this was Paul's vision for the church at Philippi, so it rightly fits the vision for the church at West Canton. Number one, because Jesus is King, West Canton Baptist Church exists to do His work. We exist for the purpose of doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more now that I'm not with you in my absence. Here's what you're to do. Work. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. We are to be a people of work. We are to do stuff. God created us to work. We can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15, where God commanded Adam to work and keep the garden. God created humanity to work. We are not to be idle beings. We are to be in motion. We are to be active. We are to be doing. Work out your own salvation. Now, does that mean that you're supposed to save yourself? Absolutely not. Work out your own salvation does not mean that you are charged by Paul to save yourself. That is what we call heresy, and 500 years ago we burned people at the stake for. We don't do that. This is a big deal. We are not to work out our own salvation. We understand in all of Paul's letters, we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that we are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, not of our own doing, so that no man may boast. It is a gift of Almighty God. We do not save ourselves. We do not merit our salvation. We do not earn our salvation. Therefore, because we don't earn it, we also understand and believe that we can't lose it once we have it. Once God has saved us, He saved us, and that's it. It's all up to Him. Back in October and November, we went through a series called the Five Solas, the Five Solas of the Protestant Reformation. One of those solas is by grace alone. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, according to the Word of God alone. We do not, in no form or fashion, bring salvation to ourselves. We don't find salvation. Salvation finds us. There's nothing in of me that does any good. I cannot save myself. I want to be very, very clear about that. So what does it mean to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? I believe what Paul is saying here is that because God has in His grace through faith saved you, you are now to be a people of work. Our salvation should be working. We don't work for our salvation, but our salvation is a salvation that in turn works. We don't produce salvation. Our works does not produce salvation, but our salvation produces works. You have to put those in the right order. Salvation produces works. In the little epistle that James wrote, James says, if I can find James, he's hard to find. James chapter number 2, James says in verse 14, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." In other words, if you claim salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you tell people you're a Christian, but there is no good works coming out of your life as a result of that salvation, your faith is dead and useless. It's not saving, in other words. If you say that you have salvation, but there's no evidence in your life that you're a believer or that you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say anything you want to say. It does not make it so. I can tell you very confidently right now that on an NBA-sized basketball goal, I can do a 360 dunk. I can tell you that with all confidence. I can tell you what it feels like when my feet leave the ground. I can tell you what it's like to spin around and slam that ball behind me. It does not make it so that I said it. Do you understand? I cannot do that. I'm lucky to touch the bottom of the net without the ball in my hands. I cannot do it just because I said it. Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't actually mean you're a Christian. I hear all the time, well, we can't judge. Listen, Paul, James, they're saying right here that if you don't have any works in your life, your faith is dead and it is of no use. We are a people whom God has saved by His grace for the purpose of working. We work out our own salvation. Our salvation is to work, in other words. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, our salvation is to work because when God saves us, He begins to work in us and through us. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. God saves you and then begins doing something in you and then begins doing something through you. He begins to use you to reach the world with the gospel. He begins to change you. He begins to send you places. He begins to have conversations through you that ordinarily you never would have had before. You begin telling people about Jesus. You begin giving clothes to those who need clothing. You begin giving food to those who are hungry. As Jesus says in Matthew, you begin visiting people in the prisons, in the jails, in the hospitals. You begin reaching the least of these, as Jesus calls them. These are good works that we are to be about as people of the Word of God. If God is not working in you, in other words, God's not doing anything through you, there's nothing coming out of your life, your life's producing no fruit of the Holy Spirit, your life's producing no evidence whatsoever of being a follower of the Lord Jesus, there's a really good chance that you're not actually a follower of the Lord Jesus. You know how to tell if somebody's following the Lord Jesus? They're following the Lord Jesus. It's that simple. I mean, this is so simple to understand. When you're carpooling, and somebody's in front of you leading you to another destination, how do I know if that person's actually behind me following me? I look in my mirror, and if I see them following me, they're following me. Is that clear? There's no secret code about it. How do I know if somebody's following Jesus? Do they look like they're following Jesus? Do they look like Jesus? Do they act like Jesus? Do they talk like Jesus? Are they doing the things that Jesus would have done? Are they saying the things that Jesus would say? If they're not, there's a really good chance they're not actually following Jesus. As we think about that this morning, I want you to look at your own life. As you walk into 2018, is there any evidence whatsoever in your life that you're following Jesus? Are you doing anything at all that would be considered the good works that James and Paul both talk about? Are you working out your own salvation? Because God has saved you by His grace, is there anything that you're doing? Number two, because Jesus is King, West Canton Baptist Church exists to be His light. We exist for the purpose of doing the work of Jesus, but also being the light of Jesus. Now, these two are very closely related and they go hand in hand. Verse 14, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." I don't think that I need to prove to you that we live in what could very well be described as a crooked and twisted generation. Now, lest you think it's worse today, Paul described his generation as a crooked and twisted generation as well. I think that Paul could very easily describe every generation for the past 2,000 years as a crooked and twisted generation. We are a sinful people. We are a depraved people. We are sinners. That's who we are. First and foremost, born sinners. And until God changes us in our hearts and gives us a new heart and creates in us a new life, we will be a crooked and twisted generation. And so what God has done in salvation is He has saved us and He's changed us. The Bible, we call it regenerated us, given us a new heart. And then He's put us back in this twisted and crooked generation that we would be lights in the midst of darkness. And so we exist to be the light. This generation that we live in certainly needs a light. Our culture, our society, from Hollywood to Washington to downtown Canton to whatever street you live on to your front door, we need the light of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. Here's where it begins. I think when he's talking about working out your own salvation, we're talking to individuals. When we start talking about being the light, we're now talking to the church as a group. We as the church are the light set upon this hill. Now we physically sit on a hill. And so this is a good little thing that we can say that we're the light on this hill. But it doesn't matter where the church sits physically, we are to be the light in the world that we live in. And that world goes really far. That world, and we start to try to put boundaries on where that world ends, we miss the gospel. We can't say, well, that world's just Canton. What about Clyde? The Clyde folks are saying, hey, include us too. And what about the ones that live in Buncombe County? They're saying, well, don't stop at the county line. Include us too. And the gospel in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, don't just stop in the county or the region, but you go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. Our world has no boundaries. Where our light is to shine, if we begin to put a bushel on it and say, well, it's not going to shine there, or it's not going to shine there, we're only going to shine here. We're missing it. We're dimming the light. Our light is to shine brightly. But I want you to notice this in verse 14. This light and the way that this light shines has qualifications. We've got flashlights galore at our house. Every Christmas we get new flashlights for all the kids typically. Somebody will buy them flashlights. There's flashlights everywhere. Little ones, big ones, pink ones, red ones, camo ones, you name it. We got flashlights. And most of them don't work. I don't know how your flashlights are at your house, but most of ours do not work. Typically because they get left on overnight and that only lasts a couple of nights and then the batteries are dead. There's qualifications for the way the light works. And look at verse 14. If the light's going to shine from any congregation, Paul says this, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Why did I call it perhaps the state of the union of West Canton? Because if West Canton's not unified, if we as a congregation are not together and we're not unified, our light is going to be a very, very dim light. Put a bushel on it. Put it back in the drawer. Fold it up. We don't need it. If we're going to shine brightly, we cannot be a divided congregation. And I'm not telling anything nobody in here knows and hasn't dealt with at some church. Every church has dealt with this. Every church has divisions in it. Every church has arguments in it. You know why? Because we're a bunch of sinners. When you put sinners together, they don't agree. They don't get along. Until we rally around the cross, the banner of Jesus Christ, we have no unity. Until we understand the thing that brings us together is a common DNA, is a common bloodline, and that is the bloodline of Jesus Christ running through each of us. That's what brings us together as a congregation. We can look back through our history and we can see times where we've been disputing with one another, where we've had division amongst ourselves. And you know what the light looks like then? To the community around us? You know what they begin saying? You know what they begin talking about? We all know, we've heard it. All they do is bicker. All they do is talk about money. All they do is fight. I have read state newspaper articles about church fights. Listen, when your church fights to the point that it makes the state news, your light is no longer shining. I mean, at this point, we need like infrared or something. We need like night vision because it is dark. If this church is ever going to shine a light brightly, it must do it together. It cannot do it disunified. There's no way. The grumbling and the disputing. We tell our children all the time, do all things without grumbling. I'm telling the people of God, do all things without grumbling. You know what you sound like when you grumble about something? You sound like one of my kids. Paul didn't call it whining, but I'll call it whining. That's what we sound like. We act like children. In fact, Paul goes on to call us children of God. I think there's a play on words there. We act like little kids when we do things, when we grumble and we complain against one another. We as a congregation for the past 4 years, and we have been working to repair any type of reputation or thought that might have ever been had that was negative by anybody in this community. My goal for this church is if we disappeared today, if we left this hill today and we're no longer here, I would want people in this church to begin immediately asking questions. Where did they go? And I fear at times that we could have disappeared and nobody would have noticed. The building would have still be sitting here. But if nobody was meeting here today and nobody met next Sunday and next Sunday and next, how many Sundays would it take before somebody said, didn't there used to be a church there? You can drive all over Haywood County and you can see buildings, church buildings, and you still think somebody meets there, and they don't. They're not there anymore. There's nobody using that building anymore. And you're like, didn't there used to be a church there? See, the church moves and nobody misses them because their light has been so restricted because of the division and the hatred and the arguing and the bickering and the whining. Would anybody miss us if we left? I hope so. I hope that if we left this community, if we were not here tomorrow, that people would begin asking, what happened? That they'd call WLOS to do one of those ask question things, you know, where they get reporters to go find out what happened to that store or this project. I'd want them to get reporters to come out to here and start investigating. What happened to West Canton Baptist Church? We miss them. See, when you're an asset and you go missing, people recognize it. But when you're not an asset to the community and you go missing, they don't even notice it. They don't even notice it. I think we're becoming that light that we're going to be missed if we ever disappeared. This year, we had our largest VBS attendance, and I'm going to call recent history. As long as I've been pastor here, it was the largest VBS kids that we've had this year. We had a full van this year. We've not had that in the 4 years that I've done VBS with you. the Lord's beginning to make us a light in this community. We had our largest trunk or treat this year. We had more than 900 people pass through our parking lot just a couple of months ago. We tried some new outreaches in 2017. We started an Easter egg hunt out on the property, which was a big hit. We'll do it again in 2018 and ramp it up a little bit bigger and begin to be the light just a little bit more to the community. In 2017, we began to show appreciation to our town employees. We had an appreciation day, and about 40 some odd employees from Canton came out and had lunch with us and fellowshiped with us, and a couple of them visited our congregation afterwards. We became a light. They began to notice that West Canton exists, that we're here. We certainly got the word out in our Christmas parade this year for the first time. We've never done a Christmas parade, not in recent history anyway. And we passed out over 1,000 glow sticks and little cards talking about our kids' ministry. People know that we're here. And the light's beginning to shine brighter and brighter day by day. In 2018, I want to see the light get even brighter. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, we had a program here, and we had some girls from Broy Hill come, and we gave them some Christmas gifts and stuff, and many of you were here that night. And about 3 or 4 minutes before the service started, the power went out all across the community. We had no lights, and everybody pulled out their cell phones, and everybody's got the little cell phone light turned on. And it was lighting up pretty good. I mean, it was pretty bright. I thought, this will work. And then the Shoaf sitting right over here, Zach and Marianne Shoaf, they both had these flashlights. And they pulled these flashlights out, and they shined these flashlights. And for just a second there, I thought the power had come back on. These things were blinding. Everybody remember that? When those lights came on, we're like, whoa, where'd that come from? That's what I want to see in 2018. Right now, we're shining some cell phone lights. I want to see that bright light turn on in 2018. I want to see this church have a light that shines so brightly from this hill that everybody across Haywood County would miss us if we were to disappear. In 2018, we're going to try some new things. We're going to begin getting the word out to people individually in their homes. In January, beginning next Sunday, I'm going to preach a 3-week series on evangelism. So for 3 weeks, we're going to talk about sharing the gospel of Jesus with folks. And then on Saturday, January the 27th, I'm going to challenge you to go with me and knock on a couple of doors. Now, we're not talking about old school and going through a program and a bunch of memory stuff. We're talking about just simply inviting people to church, welcoming people to our community. People keep telling me over the past couple of months, there's a new house over there. There's a new double wide right there. They're putting in houses over here. They're putting in houses down there. You know what? There's people moving within a mile of this church building, and we aren't even saying welcome to the community. Why? Shame on us. When they move in, we're going to start going to them and saying welcome to West Canton's community. And we want to invite you to be a part of us at this congregation. If you don't have a church somewhere else, we'd love to have you come and worship with us one Sunday. So we're going to begin doing that. So you know if somebody new that's moved in, I want you to send me a text. I want you to let me know. That's coming down the line. We're going to start doing this on a more regular basis, where we get out and we tell people that we're here and that we know Jesus and we want to share Jesus with them. But our light hasn't stopped in Canton this year. Our light shone further. Just last month, we took 7 people to New York City, to Brooklyn, to Crown Heights, close to where the fire was just last week. We were in a very similar community to that just a couple of weeks ago. 3 of the 7 of us, it was their first time on a mission trip. It was their first time in New York on a mission trip. We're beginning to mobilize people that have never been on mission. They are starting to go on mission. In 2018, we're going to go back to New York. We're going to go back next December. We're going to do Coach for the City again next December. We're hoping to go back in July as well. We're going to go back in July, work with the same congregation at Mosaic Baptist Church, and help them reach their community. And so if you're interested in going, then you let me know, and I'll give you more information about that. But I want to get more people who have never been on mission to go on mission. to go somewhere and tell people about the Lord Jesus. Hopefully in 2018 we get to go to Vermont and we get to work with Todd West and his family. That's also on our plans and radar list. This is where we've been, and this is where we're headed. Where we've been sharing, telling people about Jesus. Where we're going to tell more people about Jesus. That's what West Canton looks like. That's why West Canton exists. And if it exists for any other reason, then you need somebody else leading the church, because I'm here to lead a people that want to tell people about Jesus. It's not a social club. It's not a pat each other on the back and tell each other how good we are. It's we exist for the purpose of being the light of Jesus Christ. That's it, folks. That's what we do. That's what we've done. That's what we're going to do. Finally, number three, because Jesus Christ is our King, because our knees submitted to Him, we exist to hold fast to His Word. Verse number 16, Paul says, holding fast to the Word of life. We are to hold fast to the Word of God, to the Word of life, to the Word of truth. We cling to the Word of God. We do all that we do on the Word of God, on the authority of the Word of God, because God's Word tells us to do it. Why do we do His work? Why do we be His light? Why do we go to New York? Why do we go to the ends of the earth? Because the Word of God says so. It's a real simple, it's just like I tell my kids, because I said so. God's looking at us and saying, do this because I said so. That's simple. We do what the Word of God tells us to do. We seek to be a congregation that is built on the Word of God. Our preaching will be on the Word of God. On Sunday morning, when people show up at West Canton, they're going to hear the Word of God. We're not going to dance. We're not going to put on a skit. We're not going to put on a show. We're going to hear the Word of God, and we're going to worship around the Word of God. That's what churches do. That's what the New Testament did. That's what God expects. We worship around the Word of Almighty God. This year alone, we finished the book of Mark. You listened to the book of Ephesians and sermons. We've been through the Ten Commandments. We did the five solas. Where are we going in 2018? I've already told you in the next few weeks we'll be doing some evangelism conversations out of the Word of God. And then in February, I'll begin a very interesting series I'm excited about. It's going to take us into all four of the Gospels. We're going to look at the 7 weeks leading up to Easter. We're going to look at the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. Jesus made seven statements as He hung upon the cross. And we're going to look at those week by week from the Gospels. Then, after Easter, we'll be venturing into another book study, likely in the Old Testament. And so I've got one in mind, but won't reveal that just yet. What am I saying? I'm saying we're a people of the Word. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's who West Canton is. That's going to define us. That has defined us. That's going to continue to define us. That's going to define us even more. There are churches in our area that want to have rock concerts, that want to put on shows, that want to bring in pizza parties and give you a free iPad if you come to church. Good for them. You come to this church, you're going to get the Word of God. You're going to leave with the Word of God. You're going to hear the Word of God. And you're going to leave, hopefully, doing the Word of God. That's what we do here. We're about the Word of God. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. We are a people about the Word of God. West Canton's continuing to grow physically, but more importantly than physically, we're continuing to grow spiritually. I believe we'll grow physically as we grow spiritually. Spiritual growth precedes physical growth. We are a light that is beginning to shine brighter and brighter. And I expect that it's going to continue to grow even brighter in the year 2018. In fact, I'm expecting for 2018 to be our best year yet as a church. If I'm not mistaken, it will be our 102nd year as a congregation. It will be my fifth year with you as your pastor. And I expect this to be the best year of West Canton's history ever. I want to quit looking at trying to make things the way they were and try to make things the way they are and the way God's Word wants them to be. I want us to be a church that says, we've not even had a heyday yet. Our heyday's yet to come. Many of you think the heyday was back when this guy was pastor, that guy was pastor. I don't believe the heyday's actually come yet. I think God's got great things coming for this congregation. And if we will bend our knee and confess Him as Lord and obey Him and do His work and be His light and hold fast to His word, we'll see the greatest day this church has ever seen. I think God's imagination is far bigger and better than ours could ever be. That's where I see the condition of West Canton Baptist Church. That's where I see us having been. That's where I see us headed. That's my vision for this congregation. I hope and I pray that you're on board with that. I pray that we can gather around the Word of God and say, yes, we'll do it. Yes, we'll go. We'll go knock on somebody's door. We'll tell them that we're here. We'll tell them about Jesus. We'll go to New York City. We'll go to Vermont. And if God opens up another door anywhere else on planet Earth, we'll go and we'll tell them about Jesus. Will you be that congregation with me?
You've been listening to the sermon audio of West Canton Baptist Church. We invite you to join us in person at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and 11 a.m. for worship. West Canton Baptist Church is located at 75 Low Street. Thank you for listening.